And we're back. Good morning, church. Welcome. Well, we're only 2 weeks away from Christmas, right? 2 weeks, roughly. And I am sure that most of the gifts have been bought, wrapped, cookies are baked, house is cleaned. Am I right? Everybody's looking at me like, oh boy. Oh, all your lights are hung. I know Tori's are. I saw her hanging from the ladder the other day. Just kidding. You know, I was thinking about Christmas this week, and for most of us, we really do go all out at Christmas, don't we? It's like things have to be done right. There has to be certain things done, and you wonder, why is that? Why do we put so much significance into this one time of the year where all the stops are pulled out and you go all out, you know, you go all for it. I know myself personally, I don't decorate for any other time of the year except Christmas, and then you go through all the hassle and you know it's only going to be there for a week or two, and then you got to rip it all down again, pack it all up for next year, and yet you consistently go through this year after year and you add new stuff, and at the time when you're doing it, your mind even goes to the fact that, you know what, 2 weeks from now I'm putting it all away again, and yet you do it anyways, you know, and so it really is a time of year where, you know, we do go all out. It's important to us, and even though the world in general wants to change the Christmas celebration into something that it's not. They call it a holiday season now, season's greetings or whatever. We, and I believe everyone in the world knows it's Christmas. They may not use the word, but it is Christmas. It is the birth of Christ. That is what we are really celebrating. And so it's good to see, you know, the lights and all of that. And I know that there's all kinds of controversy on the celebration of the day of Christmas, that it was a pagan celebration and all of that. But you know what? In our hearts, as Christians, we are celebrating that day, setting that day aside just to acknowledge the birth of Christ and to give thanks and to rejoice in his birth. That's what it's really all about. And we know that he was sent for every human being that was ever born. He was a gift. He's a gift, the greatest gift that was ever given, and he's a gift that just keeps on giving. You know how many times over the years you've had gifts, and they were great at the time, but you know, as the years went by, they got chucked onto the garbage pile, or you know, or did the giveaway pile, or whatever, and they wear out, or they grow old, or outdated, whatever the case may be. But Jesus never grows old. He doesn't become outdated, and he is a gift that continually gives each and every day of our lives. He just keeps on giving and never grows old or loses his power or anything about him. And if you were here last Sunday, or perhaps you listened to the message over the internet, we can clearly see from what I spoke on last week that many of us who have received him as a gift, as Savior, are yet to tap into a lot of who Jesus is and what this gift really should mean to us and to utilize, I hate to use the word use, but to utilize this gift to the fullest, because Jesus Christ came to be used. I know a lot of people get offended by that, but it's the truth. He didn't come so that you would so that you could worship him. He didn't come for his own sake, I guess is what I'm saying. He came for your sake, that you might use him completely, use all that he came to give. And I guess a lot of us are not using him to the fullest that we could, so to speak. And I mean, it's like a lot of things we have or that we get, it especially today with the technology, there's so many buttons and so many things that, like, I got myself a new piano a couple of years ago. Well, I am yet to tap into any of it. Like, I mean, I turned the on off button and I know it can do so much more, and every time I do want to do one little thing, I got to get the manual out and I got to read, okay, press this button, okay, you know, and wow, this thing just transforms. It even plays its own music, it records you, it does anything. But I don't use that. You know what I'm saying? And it's simply because I've never taken the time, it takes probably days to sit down and read all the stuff that it does, to practice it so that I become good at doing all these things. Well, that's how Jesus is. The majority of Christians, and I don't say that, I say this gravely, are yet to tap in to all that Jesus gives them and is to them. We have salvation. We've received him. We know for sure that we're going to go to heaven someday. We're saved from hell. That, you know, we've received the gift of salvation. But other than that, a lot of us don't really use him for that much more. And I'm not saying that in this church we don't, but there's so much more. There's so much that Jesus has given us that we're not using in our lives. And that's what I kind of talked a little bit about last week. I said last week that if you receive Jesus as Savior, then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are all passed away. Behold, all things. How many things? How many? All things are become new. And all of these things that are new or are of God. They're not of this world, they're of God. And so that scripture in itself is so huge. And you must ask yourself, what are all these things that are new? Like, how do I look at this? How do I interpret it? How do I live it out? You know, if I am this new creature, I sure don't look new, I don't act new, I don't think new, I don't, you know, like, we're looking at ourselves and it's a little confusing because we're really not sure what is new and how to apply this to our lives. And that's kind of what I was talking about last week. So Jesus came and he took your place in death. The very curse of death that came into this world through what? Through the sin of Adam. You need to think of it this way. This is a curse that's in this world operating. It's you see it all around us, okay? And not a one of you, nor me, that was born in the flesh, and we can't be here unless we were born in the flesh, okay? You can't be hatched, you can't be dropped down. You were born in the flesh. You had a mother and you had a father. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Okay, so not one of us that was born in the flesh could avoid or stop this curse. You didn't ask to be born. You didn't ask for it. This was what happened when you were born in the flesh. In other words, you had no choice in the matter. You didn't ask to be born, nor did you ask to have the curse. Adam made that choice for us. But Jesus came to reverse all of that. He came to reverse that curse and give each and every one of us a choice. He's the way out from this curse. And the Bible calls him the second Adam. Adam came, he messed up, he sinned. Jesus came to reverse what the first Adam did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, it says, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, referring to Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. Now I'll explain that as we go on. So at the cross, Jesus became your substitute for the penalty that was incurred because we sin. We sin because we're born sinners. Why? Because Adam sinned. And that curse was passed down to each and every one of us. Even today, it's passed down. Still, it's going on. And God placed all of us into the death of his son, Jesus. Even those that aren't born yet. We were all placed into his death because God lives outside of time. With him, there is no such thing as time. We live in time. So that's why a lot of times we have a hard time really grasping what the scriptures are saying because we always think of time. Well, Jesus died so many years ago, so-and-so hasn't been born yet. So that means that, you know what I'm saying? We always divide things into time. So the Bible tells us that when Jesus died, we all died in him. So that when he was raised from the dead, we were all raised with him to a new life. Think about it. Jesus came, took our place. He became our substitute. He became in our image. He became like a man. So that he could die our death. But God, in his mercy and grace, put us all into that death. And when he died, we all died with him. And now we've all been raised to a new life. What life is that? His life. We are one with him. You know, I had a revelation of that years ago, that when we were raised with Christ, we were raised to his life. Not just life, but his life. Because we always think of life, eternal life, as just not going to hell and going to heaven. But no, we were raised to eternal life. We were raised to his life, his quality, his quantity. You know, and that's the thing that I'm trying to talk about and have been talking about. We need to tap into that life that we've been raised to. Eternal life just doesn't begin when you die and go to heaven. Eternal life, it begins the moment eternal life comes into your heart. And you can tap into that eternal life instantly. It's not something that we have to wait for. And so when Jesus was raised from the dead to a new life, his life, we are in, he was raised from the dead, we were raised with him into his life, and we are now the recipients of that life. It's like he was the gift. We are the recipients of that gift, life, new life. Last week I said that this new life, who is really Jesus in us, is literally in us. But my question was, are we dwelling in him? And I was, use this as an analogy, I was in prayer one day and I was, you know, thinking, oh Lord, I need more of you, I need more of you. And you know, we get that yearning, like, I need more of you, I need to see more of you, I need to feel more of you, I need to, you know, and the Lord said to me, no, you don't need more of me in your life. You need more of your life in me. And it just, like, I got the revelation instantly. I understood what he was trying to say. Because in John chapter 1, verse 16, it says, of his fullness have you received. Jesus is completely in you, his whole being. Everything that he is, everything that he has is in you. And so you can't get more of Jesus. And we try to take him and fit him into our life. And he's saying, that's the problem. I don't fit into your life. You need to fit your life into me. And when you fit your life into me, now you become as I am. You see, as long as we're standing alone and we're trying to get him to come and live in us, or trying to get him to live more in us, we think he brings his good, you know, he's going to do all this. But it's simple. You need to step into his life and rest. I am healed because Jesus is healed. No other reason. I am in his health. You know, we're trying to get health. We're trying to get prosperity. We're trying to get all the things that we need to live in this life, to have a good life. And he is all those things. Jesus doesn't heal. He's health. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't prosper. He is prosperity. And so when we step in and live in his health, and we need to remind ourselves every day that we are in him, and that in him is all things. In him is fullness of life. And so we're always trying to get our lives fuller, but it's like, okay, I'm going to step into that fullness, you know? And because we're really a lot of times trying to step into, step into a room that we're already in. You know, we know that there's things we desire that, you know, we're not there yet, never fulfilled, but we never seem to have arrived. You know, it's always one more thing that we need to have or sense or feel or whatever. And we never arrive. But in him, we have arrived. As he is, so are we. So in him is no lack. In him, nothing is broken and nothing is missing. In him, nothing is broken, nothing is missing. That's the definition of the word shalom, peace. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. I give you my peace. How much peace does Jesus have? Is anything missing in the life of Jesus? No. Is anything lacking? No. He has the fullness of life, the fullness of, and you're in that life. You're his body. I said last week, you got to understand you are one with him. As much as your head and your body are joined, he's the head, we're the body. We don't look at each other and see two people because you have a head and a body. You know, you're one being. Your head is part of your body. We are part of the body of Christ. We are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4. And you need to see that unity that you have now. You're dead. The old you that you thought you were, you know, you were I'm my own man or I'm my own woman or whatever. That person's dead and gone. You now have to identify yourself with Christ. Apart from Christ, you have no life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And I live by the faith of the Son of God. So in him is no lack. Nothing broken, nothing missing. And I said last week that if you are truly a born-again Christian, you do yearn to see him more in your life. To have him bigger in your life. And we need to remember that we are always in him. And he doesn't get any bigger. We only, through our thinking, make him bigger. You know what I'm saying? You can magnify him in your thinking, or he can become small in your thinking. But he changes not. He's as big as he's ever going to be. He's in you fully as much as he's ever going to be. So it's all up to you as to how you are going to see him in your own life. So the whole question was, Christ is in you without a doubt. He's living in you, but are you living in him in the fullness of who he is? Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. It's not working?
Working on it.
Oh. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, walk in him. The word walk means to live in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. To be built up in him. Built is the word epoikodomio, which means to rear up, to build upon. Now this word, taken from oikodomio, where it says building yourselves up on your most holy faith, that's found in Jude. Now the word building, oikodomia, means to build the house. What is the house? Where are you housed? In your body. So this is talking about your body, built up in him. It is talking about your flesh part. Because you know why? Your spirit doesn't need building. In the spirit, you are a brand new creation. You are perfect forever. Sealed. You know, when you vacuum pack meat? Sealed. Except the Holy Spirit vacuum packs you and nothing gets in to contaminate that spirit. It is perfected by Jesus wouldn't be there living in you if you were not perfect. Back to verse 7. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In other words, root it and build up in him. So you're building up your body in him. As he is, so are you. It's so important that we are strong this side of. If you are mentally ill or physically ill, you cannot enjoy the life of Jesus Christ in this life. Let's face it, aside from salvation, healing of the body, physically being well, sound in mind and body, is the next most important thing. Right? Wouldn't you say so? Money definitely takes a secondary step or a back seat to that. Because you can have all the money in the world, and yet if you are ill in your mind or in your body, you certainly will not be enjoying your money. You could care less about that money. So the second most important thing, that's why the Bible says in John, 3 John, I believe it's verse 1 or 2, that I wish above all things that you be in health even as your and prosper even as your soul prospers. In other words, that is very important to God, that you be healthy in your mind and in your body. Otherwise, we can't enjoy life to the fullest. So we need to be rooted and built up in him, not in our vitamins, not in our, and there's nothing wrong with exercise, vitamins, living right, eating well. I'm not against that. But we need to be built up in him, in who he is. And we need to identify with him. I have divine health because I'm in him and he is my health. Nothing more, nothing less. Beware lest any man spoil you. The word spoil means to lead you away or to rob you through human wisdom, philosophy, and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In other words, be careful that others don't rob you and pull you away from who you know you are in Christ. And that'll happen. People will question what you believe because they do not understand that you're not living the way the world is living anymore. You're in this world, but you're not of the world. And you do not identify with the world's principles any longer. You identify with God's word, with who God says you are. And that's where the struggle can come in. And many well-meaning people will come along and say, oh, you can't really believe that. Face reality. You know, this is what's happening. And to them, it seems like you're denying what's happening. You're not denying it. You're just denying its right to be there. So don't allow anybody to pull you away from what God's word says you are because of so-called human wisdom, which they call philosophy in the word of God. For in him dwells all the fullness of God, of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. There it says again, you are complete. When God finished the work, when Jesus hung his head at the cross and said, it is finished, you were complete. Now, it doesn't appear to be that way, but that is the truth. He would not have stopped if it had not been so. It is finished. In Christ are all things that pertain to this life and unto godliness and unto eternity. Of his life you have received, his quality, his quantity, his enjoyment of life. We are now made one with him. You know, I mean, think about it. There's so many analogies you could use that the Holy Spirit will bring to you. You might have been living a life of poverty, maybe on the streets, cold, no clothes, nothing to eat, starving to death, dying. And some handsome prince who owns the whole country comes along and rescues you and brings you into his palace and begins to just, I mean, you've got a life of luxury that you can't even explain. You don't even know what to do with it. And, you know, and so are you going to go back out there and lay on the street and go back to your old life? But that's a lot of times the analogy that you need to use in your mind to explain, you know, the old life versus the new life, because that's the difference in it. God has given you a life that you can't even, eyes not seen nor ear heard, what God has planned for those of us who are in Christ. In him is all things. And I said last week that whatever the need is in the natural, in him is your answer. In him, all of our needs and our desires are met and fulfilled as we go about from day to day living his life. And you've got to remind yourself every day, I'm in him today. So in him, I have joy, I have peace, I have divine health, I have all the things he has because he's there and I'm the body. We need to live that way, to see ourselves that way, to identify ourselves in him every day. You're not trying to be healed. In him you are healed. See, that's, you're not always pushing God's promises off to tomorrow. It's like, no, I am now, not tomorrow. So why are we not experiencing this life on this earth? 1 John chapter 4, 7 says, as he is, so are we. How come we don't experience this all the time in our lives as Christians? Once in a while, we get a glimpse of that in our lives. That not ought to be so. We ought to be victorious in this. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to all, to those who are in Christ. Not any at all to those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So what is the law of sin and death? Well, way back in the garden, God said to Adam, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day you do eat of it, in dying you will die. Now, Adam ate of the tree, we know that. Did he die? Yeah, he did. Did he fall over dead immediately? No, he lived for over 900 years. He lived for over 900 years, even after God said, in dying you shall die. God was saying this, you will be cut off spiritually from me, who is all life, who is the giver of all life, who is life. And eventually, that will lead to physical death. It took over 900 years for physical death to take over. But believe me, it started right when God, the moment he ate from that tree. His spirit was cut off, and that what was inside of him began to affect what was outside of him. And that's my point today. What's inside of you should be affecting what's on the outside of you. Eventually, it brought death to Adam's body. That is the law of sin and death. But we are not under that law any longer. We're not under the curse of sin and death. We are under the law, we just read it, of the Spirit of life. The moment we received Jesus into our hearts, the gift of salvation, our spirits now became alive. We were reconciled back to God. We're connected to life now. We became one spirit with Jesus. Through Christ, of course, we're connected back to God. Now the life of God is now coursing through our bodies. So let's reverse what happened to Adam. Now, just like Adam, there was no sign outwardly of this happening. When you received Jesus, did you see your light up like a, you know, did you see any life in your body? Any new life? Anything different? No. And no more than Adam did. He looked exactly the same after he'd ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He knew in his heart something had changed. And you too, when you receive Jesus, you know in your heart something has changed. You can't maybe put your finger on it, but you know you're not the same person. But physically and mentally, nothing has changed. It took 900 years for Adam, for that thing to play out in Adam's life and completely destroy his body as well. Now, it's the same with us. When we got born again, we became a brand new creature on the inside. This life is now coursing through our bodies. Eventually, it ought to be bringing more life. It ought to be, you ought to be able to see signs of it in your body. And it's sad to say that for most Christians, we don't expect that. That dead part of us, the part that lived under the law, the part that lived under the curse of this earth, is gone. We are brand new creations, and we ought to every day be stronger, healthier, living a more vital life. Just like with Adam, every day he was one step closer to death. We're not, that's behind us. Death is in the past. We're now into life. But you need to see that. You need to understand that. And that's just your mindset, that every day I'm going to be stronger. Instead of thinking like the world thinks, every day I get weaker. Every day I get older. And it's hard to do that in the face of living in this world who is all running after the system of the world. So they think you're odd when you don't. But you have to stand strong. That's part of the faith. That's part of the faith fight that we fight every day. So we're not under that curse anymore. In our spirits, we were completely made new, perfected forever, and the real you, which is the spirit you, is now complete. It is completely whole. It is completely changed, perfected forever. And just like the separation of Adam from the life of God took effect in Adam's body in this world, so too, our reconciliation and our being brought back to the life of God ought to affect our bodies. So the spirit of life now is in us. It needs to take effect in our lives. More and more every day. Experiencing going more and more and more into life, being transformed more and more and more into His image. So why is it that we're not? Most of us are not. Well, the part of you that was made brand new is your spirit, right? You are a spirit being. You are no longer in the flesh. You are a spirit being. And you have a soul. There's three parts to each one of us. You have a soul, which is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you live in a body. That's the three-part being. Now, your spirit is who you are. That's the real you. Now, that spirit is in the center. That's the center part, okay? Right around the spirit is another circle, and it's the mind, or the soulish realm, which is made up of your mind, so, or your mind, your will, and emotions. Then the very outer part of that circle is your body, which that is all pushed in, that your mind is in your body and your spirit is in your body. Now, we're trying to get the life of God to come out in the body, to experience it in this world. But the mind is in the center. Now, the mind can either look inward to the spirit, or the mind can look outward to the flesh. And wherever the mind is focused is what you're going to experience in this life. And that's the problem. We're still looking outward to the flesh instead of looking inward to who we are in the spirit. We're identifying with the flesh rather than the spirit, who says you're perfect, who says you are all righteous, who says you are already healed. So how do we get that life to flow out of us? We know it's in there. We don't doubt that. Well, we know our mind, our will, and our emotions are standing in the way. And the thing that your mind is most preoccupied with is what is going to be your experience. As a man thinketh, so he is. And so if you are more focused or conscious of your flesh life, and you live life according to the natural, which is, what's the natural? What's flesh? Well, it's your eye, it's your sight, your hearing, your taste, your touch. Those are all those are part of your flesh, your senses. If you're living by the senses, then you're going to be controlled by the flesh. You're going to identify with the senses rather than the spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh live according to, in other words, living according to the natural world, do mind the things of the flesh. Now, the word mind means to exercise. Okay, when you are minding something, you're thinking on it, right? To exercise the mind is to ponder it, to think on it. So what you're thinking on is what's leading you and controlling you. But they that are after the Spirit, in other words, you are pondering the things of the Spirit, the things of God. Now that is what is going to begin to control you. The Word of God that tells you that you are righteous, that you are all these things. For to be carnally minded, verse 6, is death. What is carnally minded? It means to be aware of the natural only, to walk in the natural. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because your flesh mind is at enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In other words, your mind is always going to fight what the Spirit of God is telling you is the truth. Always. Your mind is going to fight it. God's word says you're healed. Your mind says, no, I'm sick. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, unless you believe what God says about you. But you, here's the good news, verse 9. You're not in the flesh. You are not in the flesh. So don't get all afraid and think, oh my goodness, I'm in the flesh. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you have Christ in you, you're not in the flesh any longer. Don't let the enemy tell you you're in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Tell yourself that. I already am in the Spirit. You don't have to try. You know, so many times we use the idea, oh, I got to get in the Spirit. You're in the Spirit. That's where you live. The thing is, the flesh part of you died. Do you understand? So if we didn't have the Spirit, we wouldn't be. So you're no longer in the flesh. You are now in the Spirit. If Christ lives in you, and I know that he does. You know that he does. You're in that Spirit. Don't try to get into the Spirit. You're already there. And if Christ is in you, even though the body is dead because of sin, in other words, this body has not been redeemed, okay? Your spirit on the inside, your spirit man is made in God's image, in God's likeness. It has been regenerated, okay? Never to pass away, never to die again. But your body is still the old body. And that's the problem. Your body is still dead because of sin. In other words, it's still under the death, like it's passing away. But the Spirit on the inside of you is life because of the righteousness. The moment you received Jesus Christ, gift of salvation, all your sins were washed away. And you became as righteous as Jesus is. Now, that's a struggle for us. You became on the inside as righteous as Jesus is. And God, the Bible says, will never, no, never impute sin to you again. Never. And you were made as righteous as Christ. But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, we're talking about the Spirit of God, he that raised up Christ was also dead. And God raised him from the dead, and you in him. If that Spirit dwell in you, he that raised Jesus from the dead will also quicken. The word quicken means bring to life your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. So even though we live in this flesh body, God has given us the law of the Spirit of life. We're no longer under the old law, which was sin and death. In other words, we no longer have to expect what the world expects. But we have something that far supersedes the law of sin and death. And even though the world says, well, it's only natural that at the age of 65, you get arthritis and you do all these things and all this stuff begins to happen to your body. No, 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 no. The law of the Spirit of life in me supersedes that law. And I use that example of gravity. Gravity is a law that's in place, but we have a law that supersedes it. What is that? Lift and thrust. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to fly in an airplane. Well, the Spirit of life is far superior than the law of sin and death. And think of it in that light. You get into an airplane, I mean, the gravity keeps you on the ground until that power cuts in, and zoom, you're off, and you cut right through the gravity. You rise above it. So it's the same thing with us. The law of the Spirit of life in us is greater, far supersedes. And so if there's a problem going on in your flesh, you know that on the inside, the Spirit of life is the answer. And you just get into that. You rest in that Spirit. You rest in that life. There's nothing we can do to conjure it up. It's just trust it and believe it. Believe you are in him. And even as Adam didn't see any changes immediately, maybe you won't either. But I guarantee you, if you stay there long enough, you will see that transformation begin to happen in your life as you focus on him. So even though we live in this body that is dead, that's passing away, the Spirit of God in us far supersedes the law of sin and death that's at work in our bodies. And we, by faith, need to realize the life that is in us, his life. How do we do that? By the renewing of our minds to the new life inwardly. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you might prove the good and acceptable will of God. I use the example that I got a new piano and haven't got a clue how it all goes. I just use the main function on it. Well, it's the same thing in Christ. Many people do not know all of the things that Jesus Christ died to give them. They honestly have never heard it. There are people that have never heard that Jesus heals. Yeah, I mean, I've been preaching it for many years, but really, there are preachers and there are people that have never heard a large part of the blessings that have freely been given to us by God through the cross. And so if you don't know, I mean, the fact remains, if I don't know how to use all those buttons, I ain't going to use them. I ain't going to enjoy them. And it's the same thing with you being transformed. You can't be transformed into something you've never seen, never, you don't even know. And so we need to renew our minds according to God's word. Keep your minds, we read that scripture last week, keep your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth, who we are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we with open face, beholding as in a mirror or the glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. You can't change yourself. See, that's the problem. We're trying to change ourselves with our will. Well, I'm not gonna do that anymore. I'm not gonna be angry anymore. I'm not gonna, you know, you can't do that. It won't work. You might be able to handle it for a day, but what you are and who you are on the inside, it all begins on the inside. You gotta believe that's who you are. You're transformed from the inside out, not the outside in. So by renewing our minds, all of a sudden our minds are now inward. We're looking at the spirit part of who we are, not the flesh. And that's why it's so powerful, because that becomes more of our reality than what we see on the outside. And so these times that you spend in the Word or hearing the Word or reading the Word or even just meditating on it are powerful. That's what's transforming you. That's what changes you the most. Look to Jesus to see who you really are. As he is, so are we in this world. That's past tense. So are we. It's not like we're going to become like him. We already are like him. We are healed in him. We are prosperous in him. We are at peace in him. We are filled with the joy of the Lord in him. Don't let your emotions dictate who, what, or how you are. Emotions is one of the biggest problems, because I don't feel it. It's not real. We're always waiting for our feelings to be there, and then we're going to believe it. You know, I remember saying that to a girl that I was praying for years ago. She was really sick. She was in the last stages of cancer, and I was praying with her, I'm sure once, maybe twice a week. And I went there one day, and you know how that is. Some days are good, some days are bad. And she was having a really good day. And she said to me, I know I'm healed. I feel so good today. And I said, whoa. I said, just a minute. I said, you're not healed because you feel like you're healed. You're healed because God's word, because those feelings are going to change. Tomorrow you may not feel so good. And what? Then did you lose your healing? So we get so caught up in feelings. I didn't feel God, so he mustn't have been there. The greatest faith you will ever have is when you feel nothing at all. Let's strip ourselves of these emotions, because emotions go up and down. And one day we are depressed and crying, and the next day we're happy and we just feel excited and on and on and on. Do not determine the truth of God's word and who you are by how you feel. Because emotionally, some of us, whoa, we have days that we can't even explain to ourselves. God does not touch you through your emotions. Emotions is part of your flesh that needs to be brought. Now, thank God for emotions. I'm not saying emotions are not from God. They are. He's given us the emotion of joy, the emotion of peace, the emotion of love. Like, all of these emotions are to enhance life. Could you imagine if you never felt any emotion at all? You'd have a really dull life. But do not be led by your emotions. Do not look at yourself like, that's who I am because of my emotions. You know, if you wake up in the morning and you feel terrible, don't let that emotion tell you that you're not healed. And that's what we do. Oh, I guess it's not happening yet. I'll just keep on praying, keep on plugging along. And it's so subtle. And our spirit, the spirit of our mind is so, there's such a fine line between that and the Spirit of God in us that we can't even tell the difference. And so I know there's times where I'll get up and I allow my emotions to dictate to me, you know, it might be the better part. And all of a sudden I think, hey, wait a minute. I don't care how I feel. This is not the truth. And it's amazing how if you take authority over those emotions and say, no, I might feel down today and I might feel depressed, but that's not who I am. I have the joy of the Lord, and you stand strong. And it doesn't matter if you feel the joy of the Lord to tell you that you have the joy of the Lord, but I guarantee you that if you take that stand and you begin to say what you are, you will experience the joy of the Lord. But see, too often we give in to our emotions, and those emotions, you know, they we just feed them, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. So don't believe you are healed because you feel healed. Or don't believe that you are not healed because you feel sick. You know, we don't realize that's what we're doing. You know, I was so sure the other day, I was so sure I received. What is this? Now all of a sudden it's worse again. You know, don't be led by your emotions. That's what being led by the flesh is all about. Being led by your emotions. And most people live by their emotions every day, up and down. And one day it's good, one day it's bad. You never know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know. I'm tired of living that way. I want to have a solid foundation for life. And Jesus is the only solid foundation. He's not led by emotions, nor does he lead you by emotions. He leads you in your spirit. And your spirit is actually very quiet. It's very much at peace and at rest. It's the rest of us that kind of goes crazy. Our emotions. And we don't try to connect God with your emotions. In other words, if you don't feel it, it's not true. Or he's not there. We love the feeling. And I mean, nothing wrong with feeling God's presence. I love it as much as anybody else. But I know that even if I don't feel him, he's still there. He's there just as much as he ever was. And don't let somebody else's experiences also dictate to you as well about what you believe or who you believe. And that too is a real problem. And I know we all fall into that trap, and especially me. You know, you think, well, gee, if this is really the truth, then why is it I'm not really seeing it happening around me? And we begin to assess truth by what we see, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. And God's word is the truth. It changes not. And whether someone else is experiencing that truth in their life or not does not change the truth. And we have to make that decision and cut that off in our minds. And that's hard to do. That is really hard to do. So the two things we deal with are emotion, and which is, of course, directed very much so by what we see, what we hear. Your emotions go up and down with circumstances. You know, it's true. You hear a bad report, you're down. You hear good news, whew, your emotions change. You know, and so don't let your emotions dictate to you. Let your spirit dictate your emotions. Tell yourself, look at the good news, hear the good news, and your emotions will follow. Your emotions always follow what's happening. Be led by the spirit, not by your heart or your brain, your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's the problem. And I believe we will see a lot more of the life that's already in us, you know, manifest it, begin to really see it in a very real way. And I believe that is the light that's in us, the life of God. God is calling us at this hour, and I've been preaching on it, and especially to the Bible study group, that this life is what God wants us to shine with in these last days. I mean, let's face it, there is a lot of darkness. And really, it's just, really, when you think about it, the real pandemic that's going on is not the coronavirus or even the economy. It's mental. It's what's going on mentally. People are just, they're being deceived with such lies. And these lies are controlling everything. We think we have this huge problem in the world today. Well, all of it could be completely eradicated if our minds weren't so sick. I mean, we're doing it to ourselves. And so we are called as God's children to stand up with a sound mind, speaking the truth and releasing God's life through us, which is the light. And people will flock to you because there is no light in the world. And we are the answer to those that are mentally ill, because the world has nothing to offer them to fix them. But Jesus is the answer, amen? And so for us, we need to really, really get a hold of this word. We are spirit beings. We need to live by the Spirit. That ought to be our life, not the flesh. Amen. Amen. We're going to stop now and close. We're going to have communion.